Welcome to EB5 Investment Voice, where attorney insights intersects with immigration investments. If you are a foreign investor, domestic fund manager, or enterprising entrepreneur and want to get the most out of the EB5 program, you have come to the right place. I'm Mark Deal, and I'll be your co-host on this journey. I'm joined by your host, Mona Shaw, and other attorneys at Mona Shaw & Associates, as well as immigration leaders from around the world. So let's get into EB5 Investment Voice. Hey, Mona, you know, a lot on this show, we focus on various countries. We talked a lot about China the first few years, and lately it's been about India and other countries. But there's a whole nother continent that we really haven't explored.
Dad, you're so right. There's a whole world out there, Mark.
Right? It's the world is huge. The world is round. And of course, we're talking about Africa. And what better way to get to Africa than through Nigeria? And that's really the topic for today, right, Mona?
That's right. Nigeria, often referred to as the giant of Africa due to its population and economy. But interestingly, Mark, Nigeria has been placed ninth, I believe, out of the count for the top 10 EB5 visa countries in recent years. And it just shows there's quite a lot of interest coming from there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Mona. And it's about time in over 4 years and over 115, 118 episodes, whatever we've done so far, so many episodes, it's about time we visited the continent of Africa and, of course, the country of Nigeria. And helping us with that today is our guest, Kenny Chukwuma. Kenny is a managing partner and head of international law at Ken & Kent Lawyers in Abuja, Nigeria. His firm focuses on immigration, citizenship, visa advisory, corporate law, and real estate practice. He possesses over 10 years of experience in the area of immigration law and provides strategic advisory to individuals and businesses operating in the European Union, regional markets, Africa, and of course, Nigeria. He advises Africans, especially Nigerians, to seek residency and second passports and dual citizenships from other countries in order to enjoy traveling to different parts of the world for tourism and to explore international markets for foreign investments without hindrances like visas and travel permits. Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, Kenny, which are the top countries that a Nigerian would consider for investment and for immigration? And I hope you're going to say the United States.
Yeah, of course, the United States always comes up first, then the United Kingdom, then the Caribbean islands, and usually the United Arab Emirates.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that order is interesting. I know that Nigeria was, it's an ex-Commonwealth country. Actually, it still is a Commonwealth country.
Yeah.
So, of course, the United Kingdom is there. But it's interesting that, you know, US is first, Canada is second. So are these countries a Nigerian would consider for investment as opposed to immigration, or would they be the same?
A bit of both. When they look at the investment opportunities in the United States and Canada, and also look at the immigration, because they believe that if for you to have an investment there, you should be able to travel to the United States without hindrances like the visas. So, it's a bit of both investment opportunity and also for immigration purposes.
I know we are starting to see a lot more Nigerians invest in the U.S., but is this translated in the amount of clients that you have who are interested?
Yes, it has. It has. In the past 1 year now, we've been having a lot of clients that are interested in moving to the United States for investments. Many of them are very, very keen for obvious reasons where they believe, because they believe that United States, you have a more stable environment for investments where you're sure of your return on your investments. So yes, we're having quite a number of people making inquiries that are very keen on, applying for immigration to the United States and investment opportunities.
You know, it's interesting, Kenny, but something that I think I pointed out when we were discussing earlier, over the last couple of years, I looked back at most of our Nigerian clients, both who just contacted us and the ones who actually went ahead with EB5, and there was quite a few. But the interesting point was, I would say 99% of the people who contacted us were professional women.
Ooh.
And professional women, I mean doctors and, you know, bankers, etc.
Many a times, it's always women that drive the need for families to migrate. I don't know why it's usually the case, but I see it as maybe because of the fact that most times you find the men busy doing other things. But the women are thinking about the family, thinking about the children, thinking about, you know, the future of the children. So it might be, that might be the reason why you're having more women making those contacts.
Yeah, it could be. Of course, it's always the children, but I was also considering the fact that maybe women themselves don't prosper as much in their career in Nigeria as they would, say, in a country like the United States.
Yeah, well, you know, Nigeria is more of a male-dominated society in terms of people on that higher level of, like, in government, in the top managerial positions, usually male-dominated, unlike in the United States, where you have equal opportunities for everyone. So I think that might play a role as well.
Right. Well, as you've said that so many people are interested in the United States, has Trump's travel bans had any adverse effect?
It has a serious effect on Nigerians and their ability to migrate to the United States. The main thing that's affected Nigerians is the lottery, diversity lottery visa program, which has been stopped for Nigerians. Nigerians can't participate in it at the moment because of the Trump's travel ban. Many Nigerians used to use that as an opportunity to migrate to the United States, but now it's no more possible for them to...
Which visa are you referring to?
The Diversity Lottery Visa
program. Oh, the DV. Yes, you're right.
The DV Visa Lottery Program. You know, they're not able to take part in that at the moment, Nigerians. So it used to be one of the ways for Nigerians to migrate to the United States. But right now, they are not able to take that advice.
Well, interestingly, when we first started the EB-5 program in proper, I would say, not first started, but one of the first countries, the countries were countries like China, etc. When the African countries were mentioned, there was a handful coming from places like Kenya and Uganda, but nobody really considered that most of Africa, especially Nigeria, would have that kind of net worth. But we are seeing now that many of, you know, your clients do have that net worth.
Yeah, they have the net worth. You know, there's quite a number of... Nigeria is a big economy and the market is big as well. People have the funds. But the only thing is that many a times, many people don't really know what to do. So the awareness is not very... people don't really know much about what to do in order to get the right things done for them to migrate to the US. But in terms of the money, yeah, you find people that really have the funds to... take on such projects.
Which begs the question I'm going to ask you next. I mean, you have a lot of experience in dealing with investors from Nigeria. What are the typical kind of sources of income that you're seeing?
Many a times, usually inheritance money. You find people that will tell you that, oh, well, inherited such big sum of money from parents or grandparents. Many a times, you find people that will want to sell real estate properties that they inherited from their parents or grandparents in order to fund such projects. You also find people that are business people or politicians that have such funds to invest. So the funds usually come from different sources.
Do you have any problems in taking money out of the country? You know, like there are currency restrictions from certain countries. Do you have currency restrictions from Nigeria?
Yes, there are restrictions. But those restrictions are restrictions that you can find in most countries. First of all, they need to be sure that the money is not for any terrorist activity, to fund terrorist activity across the world, or you're not getting involved in money laundering. It's always the responsibility of the financial institutions to... carry out proper due diligence to make sure that the money that you're trying to move out of Nigeria is from a good source. And also try to ensure that the beneficiary account where the money is going to is something that is a source that they are very comfortable with.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Many a times they will ask for information because most Nigerians will say, oh, I want to buy a property in the US. I want to buy a property in the UK. They will ask you for documents like the purchase and sale agreement for the property to be sure that, yes, it's really for the purpose that you want to transfer the money. So those kind of restrictions are there. You know, the central bank, they will want you to, declare whatever the money is for, especially such huge sum of money, like when you're talking about 500 to, you know, a million US dollars. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have noticed another thing, though. Now, we have suddenly had such an increase, and you have seen it as well, of interest for Nigerians buying Caribbean. And in Caribbean, Grenada.
Yeah. It's something that we've seen a lot of Nigerians looking for Caribbean passports in the recent times. A number of reasons, because of the visa-free travel around the world now. Everybody wants to be able to travel to different parts of the world without looking for a visa. So Nigerians are taking advantage of that visa-free travel. And the good thing about the Caribbean is that it's very, very fast. Their applications are usually very fast. Within 3 to 4 months, you have your citizenship. And the cost implication is not too high compared to EB-5 or even investing in other European countries. So people go for it as long as they are able to travel to all those 140 visa-free countries. So there's a lot of interest in those Caribbean citizenship.
There is, but there is a lot more in Grenada more than anywhere else, which makes me think E2.
The reason why a lot of people go for Grenada is because of that E2 visa. Yeah. Because one thing that people will always ask you when you tell them about Grenada citizenship or any Caribbean citizenship is they will ask you, oh, which countries is it visa-free to? And once you don't mention United States, they're like, oh, no, so you can't go to United States. But when you give them the option of the E2, they'll be like, oh, okay, so I can still find a way to the U.S. if I have the Grenada citizenship. And I say, yes, as long as you're willing to invest in the U.S., and go for the E2 visa if you have a Grenada citizenship.
Yeah, we have seen that the E2 has jumped in popularity. And I think, you can tell me that the average Nigerian is a little more entrepreneurial. So they like to do their own businesses as opposed to putting their money in someone else's business.
Yeah, they like to, you know, Nigerians are very, like you said, they like to be in control of whatever they are getting involved in. So many a times you find people telling you that, oh, can I not set up my own business or can I not set up a branch of my own business in the United States instead of going to, you know, invest in another person's business? Because sometimes it might be a case of not being very sure that they will get their money back. So that control is one of the reasons why many a times you find them saying that, oh, they want to go for their own business.
Very true. But it's also very difficult to explain to somebody who doesn't live here the laws and nuances of this country. We had a client who wanted to set up a school. They had a very successful school in Nigeria, but they didn't even understand some of the rules that we had here. And it was, I needed somebody like you to yell at them, I had to say. Yeah. It was very difficult.
Advise,
yes.
forcefully advise, if need be.
sometimes you definitely need someone that will speak the language they will understand. Nigerians are very, how would I put it now? They know what they want. They know what they want. They will tell you, oh, this is what I want. But it takes someone that, you know, knows how to deal with them to convince or to explain to them why you shouldn't go for it this way. Look at it from another perspective. So it takes a lot of, negotiation and conviction and everything in order to get them to.
And you've been doing it for a long time, so you know how to convince.
Yeah, and I'm Nigerian as well, so I know how to. Yeah.
You do, but you've also lived in the UK, so you have some experience in doing stuff overseas.
Yes, I have. I'm a UK citizen as well, so I have dual nationality. So it helps as well when you test, especially when you're trying to tell them the benefits of having dual citizenship or being able to have residency in another country that gives you that opportunity to move to anywhere you want to move to and invest in anywhere you want to invest. It helps.
Yeah, no, 2020, I have to say that being a dual citizen does have a huge advantage.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, we have developers who do listen to our show, and everyone is always looking for new markets, especially new countries like Africa. So anybody who is looking to advertise or market their products, whether it's E2 projects or it's EB5, any suggestions on how they would approach a Nigerian?
Well, before the COVID-19, before the pandemic, it was more about reaching out to people face-to-face, meeting people. Because if you consider the amount of money involved in this, such investments, you need to target the right audience, which are usually the high net worth people. And you can't really reach many of them through Facebook or social media because many of them don't even take part in that. It's strange that many Nigerian top directors or, you know, people that have the resources don't really do social media that much.
That's very interesting because many countries, it is, they say, go for Facebook, go for Instagram. So you're saying don't do that.
No, don't even do that because we've tried to engage some publicists in Nigeria. And what they told us was that many of these high net worth people don't really do social media like Facebook. They might have accounts, but they don't manage it themselves. They have people that manage it on their behalf, and those people tell them what they want to tell them. For politicians, they usually have such accounts where they put out their, you know, manifestos, things they want their constituents to know about. When you send them information on such medium, you hardly get responses. So usually direct marketing, trying to reach out to them directly, you know, find ways of reaching out to them on a one-on-one basis, which is one of the ways that I...
But that's easy to say, but it's very difficult because you'd have to go there, get an agent or get something set up.
Yeah, that's difficult. Even for us in Nigeria, it's very difficult. But what we do is, for example, we try to reach out to the senators in Nigeria, the senators in Nigeria. And we had to prepare materials. We had to try to make appointments to reach out to them. It wasn't easy. Out of 100 and something senators that we have in Nigeria, we're only able to, you know, reach out to like 60, 70% of them. But the good thing about that is that one person will tell the other person if they're interested in going for the program. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So it's word of mouth from one senator to the other.
Yeah, word of mouth is the key for most places, I can see. How about things like now that we're in COVID, do you feel people are receptive to things like webinars and other print adverts?
Yeah, people are receptive to webinars. But the good thing about webinars is that if you're able to work with people that have contacts, they have database of the high net worth people. For example, the webinar we did last week, the reason why I worked with the travel and tour companies because they have a database of those high net worth people in Nigeria.
Right.
So it's easier for them to send out information to those people, and those people will be interested because of the fact that they already know them. They already know that, yeah, this is a reputable company. So they will want to take part in the webinar session. But if it just comes from anywhere, many a times they won't. But you can never rule it out. You can never rule out the fact that someone might, you know, see information and get interested. But we try to be very, very strategic and target the right people so that we don't end up wasting time and resources.
So, Kenny, just so that people understand your role as a lawyer and advocate in Nigeria, if a high net worth individual who resided somewhere in Nigeria, say he's in Lagos, they came to you and said, Kenny, we want our children to go to the United States. We want them to have citizenship in the United States. So find us a way, find us a project. How would you move forward?
First of all, it would be good to understand the particular kind of project they have in mind. If not, if they don't have any project in mind, it would be my job to give them the options available. EB-5 being one of the options, knowing fully well that with the EB-5, if they are able to get the green card, their children will be able to move to the United States and reside here, which might also lead to them getting citizenship in the long term. So having a relationship with your firm makes it easy, because whatever information that we need, whatever assistance that we need from that end, you guys will provide that. But before that, we will make sure that they are really eligible, and we'll have to carry out like a pre-screening on them, screen them to find out, know much about them, conduct our due diligence on them to find out that, you know, whatever source of, they know the amount of money involved and the source of that fund is a legitimate source. We also make sure that all their documentations, all the necessary documentation that will be needed, that they have it. So it's more like providing hand-holding support for them, looking through at all the things that they have, their children, their families, and making sure that they're all correct.
That is very good to know. That's very good to know. So let me ask you, since the amount went from 500,000 to 900,000, has that daunted many Nigerians, or do people still have that kind of income?
To be honest with you, I think that change, that increase affected a lot of people that had intentions of doing that. Because there was a lady that came to us, I think 2-3 weeks ago. And what she had in mind was that it was around 750, 800. I didn't know where she got that information from. So when I told her that it's no more that amount, that it's now $900,000, she was like, oh, wow. Okay, now we should give her some time to go back. So I'm sure that a lot of people, that increase from 500 to 900 will have a big impact on a lot of people's decision to go for EB-5. But the other option would then be E2.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say this. It certainly does take people, a lot of high net worth investors, out of the equation, but those same people would perhaps file for an E2. And I think that's what you are seeing an increase of.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons why a lot of people choose to go for the Caribbean citizenship, because of the E2. And by the time you add, for example, you buy a property for 220 and you make an investment of 150 for your E2 application, it's around maybe 600-500. That's when you add up all the other government fees and due diligence fees. You're looking at around $500,000 to $600,000 for you to have that. For the E2, if you're going down the E2 route, yeah. But still, people that want the EB-5 will still want to go for the EB-5 because of the green card and the residency there.
Right. Well, the E2 does have its restrictions. I mean, first of all, being a non-immigrant visa. And secondly, if a child is over 21 and they wanted to include that child on the their petition, as soon as the child hits 21, then they fall off that petition. Yeah, unlike EB-5, where they would still be included, and, well, not over 21, but if they were under 21, they would still get the green card. Incidentally, what is the interest in so many Nigerians wanting to go to the UAE?
Well, you know, the UAE, many Nigerians see it as a place, especially the Nigerians from the northern part of Nigeria, who are usually Muslims.
Yeah.
They see UAE as a place where they can feel more comfortable because of their religion. And even people from the southern part of Nigeria, you know, Dubai especially is a place where Nigerians feel freer, because you don't really need their visas to go to Dubai is usually very easy to obtain for Nigerians. So it kind of drives a lot of traffic to that direction because of the ease of getting the visas to travel there, and also the religious reasons as well for the people from the northern part of Nigeria.
Huh. But isn't it also the ease of business? I did come across a number of Nigerians in the UAE, and I heard that they liked the ease of business and they felt they could do business in the US better from UAE than from Lagos.
Well, that might depend on the nature of the business they are doing.
Right.
Might depend on the nature of the business they are doing for them to feel that it's better to do that business from UAE than doing it from Lagos to the US.
You know, Kenny, Nigeria, I know back in the early sort of in 2015, 2014, Nigeria was referred to as the giant of Africa. And that's not just due to the large population, but also the economy. And even a few years ago, it was in the top 10 of EB-5 visa countries. I do understand that Nigeria boasts, what, 20th largest economy, worth more than $500 billion and almost $1 trillion in terms of the nominal GDP and purchasing power. As it's an emerging market by the World Bank, won't we see more EB-5 investors coming from there?
Yes, I believe a lot of Nigerians right now are looking out towards. Reason being that Nigeria, as you might know, is a mono economy. The economy depends a lot on the sale of crude oil. And recently, the prices of crude oil has really gone down. And even the demand for crude oil has even gone down as well. The economy is not really very buoyant like it used to be. People are really looking at other opportunities outside the country to invest. Even the richest African man, Aliko Dangote, sometime in January, February this year, had an event where he made it clear to Nigerians that he is looking at diversifying outside Nigeria. So the economy is not really very... very good at the moment. In the past couple of years, the government policies are not really helpful as well. There is no clear direction. The foreign exchange in Nigeria is really, there's a lot of volatility in the foreign exchange in Nigeria. A dollar now is almost 500 naira. So people are looking at where they will invest outside the country and get better return on their investment.
So you see, Mark, Nigeria really is a regional power on the African continent.
I can certainly see that. And it's also nice to have somebody like Kenny being there in Nigeria, not only offering legal advice, but perhaps a cultural translator on what can and can't be done, what can be done easily, and what should be done. And they're supporting EB-5, which I certainly love. Kenny Chikuma, thank you so much for coming on EB-5 Investment Voice.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today on EB-5 Investment Voice. The topics presented in this podcast is informational in nature and is not to be taken as specific legal advice. If you have questions on the topics presented in this episode or other investment immigration needs, please contact Mona Shaw & Associates. Mona and her attorney staff can be reached at mshawlaw.com. That's mshahlaw.com. Make sure you don't miss our next episode focusing on a different aspect of the EB-5 program by subscribing to the podcast. While you're at it, leave us a rating on iTunes. If you really found this episode valuable, share it with someone else that could benefit from this information. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode of EB-5 Investment Voice.